Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, indeed, you are the light of the world. You are our Emmanuel, God with us. And this morning, Lord, my mind's eye can't help but go back to that night on a hillside when the angels appeared to the shepherds to announce your birth. Father, it's my prayer this Christmas that you would give us the same excitement and wonder that those shepherds had that night. As we enter into this time of service where our pastor opens your word to us, I pray that you would give him power to preach with authority. Father, may he declare your word to us this morning and help us as a congregation to have open hearts and open minds to receive your word and to put it into practice this very day. Father, this truly is the most wonderful time of the year when the whole world pauses to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate everybody that had a part in putting this together, our children's workers. And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. I said something last Sunday and last Wednesday. You know, God desires for his house to be full. Every saint says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Why? That my house may be full. Look at your neighbor and say, full house. Full house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glad to see you all. She's not a guest, and I get in trouble every time I start mentioning names, but I've got to mention this one. It's been 2 years because of health issues and sickness and some other things that she has not been able to be with us in worship, and she told us about 2 weeks ago, she said, my prayer for Christmas is that I'd be able to come and worship the Lord at Second Mile Church. Cindy Shelton is sitting right back there. Hallelujah. God bless you, sister. Well, we're going to look at the Christmas story. That's what we ought to do on Christmas. Somebody told me earlier that I look like the Grinch and everybody else look like Santa Claus. Well, I've been about the business of fooling people for a long time, so I'm in my retro 70s jacket. Let's all stand as we honor God's word today. We're in Luke chapter 2, and I think, Ellen, I'll just go ahead and read the whole message here, down through verse 12. Luke chapter 2, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have a Bible, say help me. All right. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Father, as Mike has already asked and requested, God, would you bless, honor, praise, and bless your word this morning? We need to hear from heaven. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children again said, amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. I don't know if you have ever missed an event, something you were looking forward to, and maybe it was a wedding or a graduation or an anniversary or some event that you were really planning on and looking forward to. And several years ago, Diane and I were about to celebrate our anniversary. It's been several years back. But I had about 4 weeks, you know, to get a gift for her and that kind of thing. And so I just kind of forgot about it. Well, lo and behold, both of us missed our anniversary. We forgot about it. You ever done that? No, never. All right. You know, it's really kind of troubling when you miss an event that you were looking forward to be a part of. That's kind of the way it was 2,000, not kind of, it was the way it was 2,000 years ago. I want to talk to you this morning about folks who miss Christmas. Folks who miss Christmas. And a lot of different things led into people missing that first Christmas. But I want to tell you, the vast majority of the world missed Christmas 2,000 years ago. And people are still missing Christmas today. And so I want to give you an explanation and an application of this text this morning. And the first group of folks who miss Christmas are busy folks. Busy folks miss Christmas. Now, you need to know here, verses 1 through 7 tell us that Mary and Joseph were coming from 4 to 5 days away, 80 miles away from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the reason that they had to leave Nazareth and Bethlehem was Rome had put out a census, Caesar Augustus, and said every Jewish male had to return to his hometown in order to register his family, his name, his occupation, and his property with the government officials. We kind of do this thing still, don't we? You remember the last census they took? Well, it's that kind of thing. And Rome, every 14 years, did this for military and tax purposes. And so where was Joseph from? And where was Joseph living? And how many miles away was Nazareth from Bethlehem? 80 miles. About 4 or 5 day stretch there. And so put in your mind's eye, try to picture this young couple coming in to Bethlehem. And everyone who was from Bethlehem, was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, showed up in Bethlehem. And I mean, there are people everywhere as they're coming into the outskirts of town. It is a busy, busy place. My son was doing some play-by-play with one of the football teams that of his school last year, and he made this statement. He said, oh, there's a lot of hustle and bustle going on. Well, that's what was going on in Bethlehem that first Christmas. People were everywhere. Store owners were hawking their goods. Street vendors were peddling their goods out in the streets and on every corner. I mean, you could smell, we were in Jerusalem last, and you could smell the fresh scent of baked bread. I mean, there were people everywhere. People were doing their chores. Children are playing out in the streets. Do you see all these folks there in your mind's eye? Do you? You got to read the Bible like you're reading real life stuff. And that's what's going on here. And there's people everywhere. And Mary and Joseph ride into town. How many of you have been out to the mall during the last 3 weeks? That's what we're talking about. People everywhere going to and fro and trying to find the right stuff, you know, get the right gift. And folks are trying to work and people are trying to get everything done. People were busy. And little did they know that the long-awaited Messiah was coming into town in the womb of the Virgin Mary. They missed it. They missed it. And my brother, my sister, people are still missing Christmas today. It's so easy. It's real easy. We're busy. We're shopping. We're trying to make a living. We're working. We're going to and fro. How many school Christmas programs have you been to this year? What about all the Christmas parties? Even the church is busy doing things. And people are just everywhere going to and fro. And somehow when it's all said and done, we really miss the reason for the season. We miss Christmas. Some of you all remember Brother Shep. I was his youth minister out at First Baptist Woodlawn 34 years ago. And we were making some visits out in Woodlawn, God's country. I have to say that because the Barnetts are here. So, but we were making some visits, and we ran into somebody while we were out knocking on doors, this lady that Brother Shep knew, and I knew her a little bit, but we started talking about things and what was all going on in the world and how many people were having tough times and da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, I just came out of me. I said, wouldn't it be great if Jesus were to come get us this Christmas? And you know what that woman said? What? And spoil Christmas for all the children? And before I could say anything to this lady, Brother Shep said, let me tell you something. Christmas is all about Jesus. Amen. Brother Jimmy Terry had it right. Amen? He is the reason for the season. And so let me encourage you, this Christmas weekend, lift up Jesus. Make much of Him. Do something to celebrate His birth with you, your friends, and your family. Give Him praise in the house today. Don't get too busy. Don't get too busy to miss Christmas. There's a second crowd of folks who miss Christmas. Blind folks miss Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about people who are physically blind. I'm talking about people who are spiritually blind. Now, remember, Mary's 9 months pregnant. She is heavy with child. I don't know how you girls do it. My goodness, bless God. But she's a teenage mama. Joseph is a concerned father. And this little young married couple shows up in Bethlehem. They're tired, weary, exhausted. I mean, how would you like to be 9 months pregnant riding on the back of a donkey for 5 days? And they show up in Bethlehem, and nobody recognizes really who they are or realizes what's in the city. The long-awaited Messiah, the Christ child, the one the Jewish folks had been looking for hundreds of years. He's there. And so they're hungry, they're tired, they're weary, and they don't have a house. They don't have a rental house in Bethlehem. And so where do they go? Thank you. I was looking at y'all, but she answered. So where did they show up at? The inn in Bethlehem. I don't know if it was a Holiday Inn or a Best West. They show up at the inn, and Joseph knocks on the door. And the owner of the innkeeper, the innkeeper of this inn in Bethlehem, shows up. And there's Mary and Joseph standing in the threshold of this, whatever it was, motel, hotel. And Joseph said, do you have a room for me and my sweet wife? I mean, look how pregnant. We are exhausted. We need a place to stay. And the innkeeper immediately said, oh, I'm so sorry. We don't have any room for y'all. But surely you've got a bed we can sleep on or a mat we can lay down on. I mean, look. Look at my poor wife. Don't you have a place for us? And he said, we don't. But there's a little stable, little cave out back where the animals sleep. Maybe y'all could find a bed back there. And I'm scratching my head when I'm reading that because, you know, I used to be in the hotel business and I know what that's like. But I'm thinking, doesn't the innkeeper understand who it is that he's talking to? I mean, a lot of Jewish people knew about the Messiah and where he was coming from. And you wonder, doesn't he know that the Messiah, the Christ child, would come from the tribe of Judah? That Joseph is from that tribe? Doesn't he know that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Doesn't he know that the Messiah would be from the line and the lineage of King David? 2 Samuel 7. Doesn't he know all that? Hadn't he read about the prophetic star that would lead? Yeah. He should have known about that, but he missed it because he was spiritually blind. He wasn't looking at things with spiritual understanding. And so he missed Christmas. Spiritually blind folks will miss Christmas. Just like that woman we were talking to in Woodlawn. Isn't that sad? And yet 2,000 years later, after we've got all this stuff, and we've got the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God, and we have changed lives, and we have the testimony of believers, and we've got, oh my goodness, services all over the internet. And yet people are still missing Christmas because they're spiritually blind. Oh, they know there's something special about Christmas, but they just think it's about giving and receiving. Listen, Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the one that we're here to celebrate and make much of. There's no one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. And I want to ask you, has he been born in your heart of hearts? Do people look at you and know that's one of those Christians? That's one of those believers. That's one of those guys that serve the Lord. You see, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be heaven born. If you want to go to glory, you've got to be glory born. You got to be born again. And then you won't miss things spiritually. Because let me tell you, folks, the biggest problem we've got as human beings is the problem of lostness. We are lost. We are dead in trespasses and sin. And we desperately need a Messiah, a Savior. And that's who He is. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And from time to time, do you know, where's Casey and Addie? Right over here. Let me just say something to you. You know, when I was young, I came to faith in Christ, and I thought I ran Jesus down. No, He ran me down. And that's what He did for y'all. He got your attention. By the way, you can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit first draws you. And if He's wooing you and caressing you and speaking to you, and that's Him. And He wants to fill your spirit with His wisdom and His knowledge and His love and His mercy and His grace. Do you have that? Are you spirit filled? Have you been born again? Because if you're not, you're going to miss Christmas and the real reason behind the season. Brother Jimmy Terry's got it right. Christmas is all about Jesus. Busy folks will miss Christmas. Blind folks, like that innkeeper, spiritually blind, miss Christmas. And so don't miss your opportunity this weekend to make much of who He is. Because one of these days, brothers and sisters, everybody's going to know. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you know God loves you? Did you hear her quote John 3:16? God loves you. And there isn't anything you can do about that. Yeah, He loves you. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Didn't that sound like Billy Graham? God loves you. Some of you are so young you don't even know who Billy Graham is. Busy folks will miss Christmas. Blind folks, and then there's one other group. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 2 to get this one. If you will, if you have a Bible. Matthew chapter 2. Burden folks miss Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Say, uh-oh. He didn't want to come worship the king. He wanted to kill the king. You see, Herod was borderline schizophrenic. He was paranoid as all get out. He thought anyone and everyone was after his position and power as king. He even killed a bunch of his family members. And so when he hears these wise men, this entourage from Babylon and Iraq is in town, he wants to do something. He wants to find out why they're there. And so he asks the scribes, he says, why are these astronomers, why are these wise men from the Far East here in our city today? And the scribes all said, well, they're here, they're looking for the Christ child, the one who's been born, the Messiah. And Herod said, well, what does Scripture say? They said he'd be born in Bethlehem. And so he calls the wise men to secretly to the palace, and he asked them, is it true? Are y'all here to worship the Christ child, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah? Is that why you're here? Oh, yes. And he said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they said, oh, yes. We've been following the star, and thus far, well, that's how we wind up here. But suddenly the star reappeared, and they go to Bethlehem. And the king said, when you find him, holler back, because I will make a visit too. And here's what he wanted to do. Watch this. Look at verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord. By the way, y'all know angels are real. Appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then on the heels of that, he has every young baby boy in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger, killed, slaughtered. He was so burdened that a new king might be in town, that there may be somebody that'll take his throne. He misses the opportunity to crown Jesus as King of Kings. He misses that opportunity. And I want to tell you, you may not be in that particular place, but burdened folks can miss Christmas. Maybe you've got a loved one who's just passed away and you're so burdened. I understand that. Maybe you've got a loved one in the hospital that's suffering and sick. I get that. Maybe you're burdened because you just got a bad bout of depression. Y'all know Christmas is tough for a lot of people. Y'all understand that? And you're having a tough time. Maybe you've just lost your job and you're burdened. Well, I've got a solution for you. Why don't you give that burden to the burden bearer? He's got big, he can handle anything and everything that you've got. And if you would just lay that burden on him, it'll set you free today. Maybe you're stressed and worried and you're burdened about something else. Can I just tell you, Jesus loves you. And the name Jesus means Savior. He will save you. He will save you now. He'll save you from all that heartache and all the. Now, he may not isolate us from trouble, amen, but he does insulate us in trouble. Oh, that's a good word, preacher. Let me say that over here. Make sure y'all get that. He doesn't isolate us from trouble, but he does insulate us in trouble. And he can bear that burden that you've got if you'll just roll that burden over on him. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, was there anybody in Bethlehem that didn't miss Christmas? That didn't miss the opportunity to worship Jesus? Oh, yeah. Think about Mary and Joseph for a moment. That first Christmas evening, Mary and Joseph are looking down into that manger at their little baby boy who's now wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they're looking at one another and saying, my. We're the parents of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine looking down into the face of their boy who came to seek and save them that were lost? And the angels, Did the angels miss Christmas? Oh, no. All over the hillsides, the angels were singing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announced their arrival. You remember that song they sang here a couple weeks ago? No, y'all don't remember. The angels sang and gave praise to God. They didn't miss Christmas. And they let their voices echo out through the hills of Judea and the fields of Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. There's a Savior who's been born, and His name is Jesus. And what about the shepherds? The lowly outcast shepherds who were so dirty and considered so unclean that they couldn't even approach the temple. Well, the gospel appeared to them, and they said, oh, we better go to Bethlehem. And they went, and they worshiped the King. And they came away sharing the good news with anybody and everybody that would listen. And then several months later, the wise men show up. He's now a young child. And they bring gifts. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters. Don't miss this great opportunity to praise God for who He is and what He's done in the person of His Son. I don't know what you're going to do this Christmas. We're going to pile up in the car after worship. We're going to head to Waynesboro, which is where my grandkids and my son and the other outlaws are hanging out at. And we're going to go celebrate the birth of our Lord in Waynesboro this morning. And then we're coming back here tomorrow, and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus with my wife's parents and her family. I don't know what y'all are going to do, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing about Jesus. You can't sing. Oh, God fine-tunes that voice. Nothing about perfect pitch, right, Andrew? Just says make a joyful noise. So I'm going to sing about Jesus this Christmas. And I'm going to do like the shepherds. I'm going to shout for Jesus. I'm going to share the good news. If you get around me at Christmas time, you're going to hear about the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to bring gifts to Jesus this Christmas. In just a few minutes, you're going to give a gift to Jesus. We call it the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And it's going to support all of our international missionaries everywhere. That's how you give gifts to Jesus. But why don't you think about giving Him what He may not already have? Why don't you give Him all of you today? That's been the theme this month, really, hadn't it? Give Him everything that you are to everything that He is, and you'll be amazed. As a matter of fact, I hadn't really spoken to y'all face to face, but you can have Christmas all year long. Andrew, you come on. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me just speak to your heart of hearts this morning. What about you, sir? What about you, ma'am? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Are you in His Word or on your knees talking to Him in prayer? Do you? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you're going to miss Christmas. It's all about Him. And here's how you get to know Him. Lord, I don't understand this thing called salvation, but I believe it. I know I've missed God's best. I'm a sinner. But I am so sick of my sins. I'm ready to give them to Jesus. I know He died for me so I could be forgiven. And right now, I want to turn from all my sin and turn to Him as my only means of salvation. Forgive me. Save me. I place my trust and faith in You and You alone. If that's the condition of your heart today, and you pray something like that, God will receive you. Come unto me, all you who are burdened and are heavy laden, and I'll give you salvation rest. Would you come to Jesus today? I can't think of a better time. And you believers that need to return to Him in revival, today's the day for you too. We're going to have an altar call, a response time, and we're going to ask you to come. Wherever you're sitting, people will let you out. We're all going to stand in just a moment. And if you prayed to receive Christ, you really got saved here this morning, you believe that you prayed, God is now, we're going to ask you to come. We want to get some things in your hands and share with you and pray over you and rejoice with you. But you need to come. And the rest of you who are saved, but for whatever reason, you're about to miss Christmas, you're too busy, too burdened, you come and we'll pray over you. Father, this is your time. This is your time, not ours. And help us to respond in obedience to your call and command on our life. We ask it in the name that's above every other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.